Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Watcher Crappens ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Hey, y'all, it's your girl, Keke Palmer, and let me tell you, we're kicking off this new year with a whole new mindset. If you're ready for that new year, new mindset energy, you've got to tune in to Baby, This is Keke Palmer. If you're looking for more podcasts to help you tend to your well-being, check out New Year, New Mindset on the Wondery app.
Well, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all the crap we love to talk about on Ye Olde Provs. I'm Ronnie. That's Ben over there. Hello, little Benu.
Hi, Ronnie. How are you? What's going on?
Just glad to be here. Glad to still be kicking, everybody. Welcome to Wednesday, January 15th. It's a Real Housewives of Beverly Hills recap. Right before we go on our whirlwind tour. Well, actually, that starts next week. A week from Friday, we will be in San Francisco, followed by San Diego. We will be doing the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City reunion in both cities. Half in one, half in the other, because that's how we roll, okay? We do very, very long reunion recaps, especially at live shows. And we're going to be so excited to be back with you guys in real life that we know it's going to be 10 hours, both shows. So plan to marinate in those shows for that. And then the following week, February 1st, we will be in New York City doing the Golden Crappies 2025 Golden Crappies featuring Broadway, featuring glitter, glamour, Bravo people, non-Bravo people, Bravo-related people, us. It's going to be great. Feathers, lots of fun stuff. So get your tickets for that. And then following that weekend, we're going to be in Salt Lake City and Denver. So we're super excited. Go get your tickets. I'm just trying to get my energy back up to get on the road. I mean, Jesus Christ.
I know.
Just getting up the stairs today, I was like, oh.
I am so stressed out, people, about this show. We do this to ourselves. We, you know, every year we put on this show, and every year we simplify certain things. We're like, okay, well, we learned from last year. We just, you know, copy and paste what we did from last year. So this year will be easier. But then every year we always make it bigger and bigger. So then there's always new stuff. And literally, my heart is racing as we're talking right now. I'm just thinking about all the stuff we have to do. Oh, my God. But it's going to be so worth it. We're going to have such a fun show. But, man, I am trembling in my boots right now.
Well, don't be scared. Who cares? If it all fails, at the end of the day, our name is Watch What Crappens. So
it is. That's true.
Okay. It's in the fucking title. So do that. Go vote for the Crappies over at watchwhatcrappens.com. You can find ticket links. You can find all that. And we're on video as usual today on Patreon. So if you want Crappens on demand, do that. And that's also where our traders recaps are over as bonuses. And I think that's it for now. So let's dive into the crazy, crazy world of Kyle's a stupid face for no reasons of Beverly Hills.
In more ways than one. So where we left off, Kyle and Dorit are screaming at each other at the Viper Room, where Erica is having her GLAAD event and also promoting, but not necessarily singing, her new song, Dominoes. So Dorit is
my
like,
pizza's coming, pizza's coming, pizza's coming, pizza coming, Dominoes. Avoid the noise.
She really has pizza on the brain this season. It's kind of like her thread. Everything's about pizza. So Dorit Dorit is mad at Kyle because she has found out that Kyle does text with PK. So she's like, I'm asking you not to speak with your vein popping out of your forehead.
Have you just arrived? That's how she speaks. Why are you just noticing the forehead vein? Don't start dissing the forehead vein now. It's worked in your favor like for years, Dorit. And Kyle's like, but I apologize. And I said to you, I will not talk to him again. What more do you want from me? I want you to stop raising your voice to me. Lizzie!
And she like moves in closer to Kyle and she goes, "You don't get to speak to me that way. Do you understand, Kyle? The rules are different for you." So Sutton's like, "Okay, okay. Angry Housewives. Okay, okay, okay." Because this show, I think of all the Housewives, is the one that I don't think this one has ever had like a physical altercation. Maybe there was one. I mean, Brandy pushed Kyle.
Yeah, there was a Brandy and Kyle thing.
Slap Lisa Vanderpump, kind of.
Yeah, she joked. You know what I'm talking about. Slapped her with an olive branch, as I recall.
But there's never been a brawl on this show. So,
and I hope the first one that gets it is Sutton. Just, and I really like Sutton, actually, but I don't know. She's just the most prim and proper one. So I would, you know, if it's going to happen to anybody, I would hope it's to Sutton.
So Sutton here is trying to break it up, and Dorit's like, "You don't get to scream, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, you don't get to scream. All right, Dorit, you have to stop. Come on, stop it, Dorit. Come on, you're speaking over my great new song, Dominoes, playing now, available on iTunes.
We're trying to promote gay trash bags here, Dorit."
And she's like, "Well, the forehead vein coming out of her forehead, that tells me she's guilty." Guilty of what? Botox. A lot of Botox. That's all it tells me.
Guilty of having a map of the Nile River down her forehead. So that is, it's like coming right on down. And so we see Kyle's like, "What more do you want?" She goes, "So yeah," she says that's a sign of guilt. "She knows she did something wrong, and now she's just trying to get aggressive and scream, so I back down and shut the conversation down." And they're trying to get her quiet, but it's not happening, vain or no vain.
"I already told you, I'm not going to text with him. I'm not going to send any fucking memes to him. What more do you want from me?" Bum, 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 bum. Bum, bum, bum. And then Sutton's just doing her cat clock eyes where she's looking at everybody. And then Kyle's like, "I am done. I am done." And she's like, "It's making me so angry because we're in a better place." Oh, please. You are not in a better place. You dumped that woman right after her robbery for 6 months for having the nerve to say one nice thing about your sister. It's not just going to be over now, lady. And you're texting her ex, okay? So Kyle's like, "She's trying to make me look bad. She doesn't even care that I'm texting PK, and it's not working." Well, I know that this was taped in the past, but I've read the internet, and it is working. Yay, internet. You're doing great.
Yeah. So Kyle's like, "I'm not beating a dead horse. I don't like to do that." And Dorit goes, Kyle, listen to me. Listen to me. And Garcelle's like, "Well, how did you know she was going to be texting PK? Because I hate to break it to you, ladies, but that was sort of my thing this season. I was going to be the one to tell you so you can have this fight. And I kind of feel like someone stepped on my thing here a little bit. Can anyone raise their hand if they took the Garcelle role for this episode? No? Anyone? No?
All right, listen. Someone else tattletaled, but I will say this. Wow. Wow.
And by the way, to anyone who's thinking about doing that in the future to me, I just want to say no.
No. And also, while I've got the spotlight, I'd just like to remind everybody that I'm so proud of myself for buying a beach house. Okay, all right, now, you've had your time. So Dorit's like, "Nobody told me, I asked." Garcelle's like, "Well, damn it, if that isn't just kicking the format of this show in the balls, I don't know what is. Because when you started talking, I thought you were about to share your relationship with PK, and then we just went off the rails. So, Sutton," and then she does that thing where she nods her head like she really cares. She's like, "How are you doing?" Dorit. And Sutton turns her head to Kyle and just looks at her like, "What the fuck?" And Dorit's like, "Do you mean that like genuinely?
Just, really? You see the emotional state that I'm in, and you want to try and connect with me for the first time in 2 years? Actually, it's not that she hasn't tried to connect. It's that every time she has tried, you've made it about yourself. So you've just not... You haven't turned your socket on for the plug to come in. So Garcelle's like, "Yes, I do want to connect with you right now since I lost the chance to see the look of horror and betrayal in your eyes when I told you that Kyle Richards text PK. So throw me a bone. Look horrified. Be upset. I don't know. I want something."
"Read the room, Garcelle. Oh, my God. Am I the next in line? Well, hold for it. Wow."
So Dorit gets up and Erica's like, where are you going? She's like, I can't. I don't have the fucking stomach for it. She's like, well, are you leaving? Honestly, this is my real fucking life and it's not on fucking display. And if you want the cameras to come follow me out while I'm not being on display of my fucking life, so be it. I shall accept it.
I don't need to fight her. I don't, especially sing about pizza the whole time. I haven't got the stomach for any of this. Pizza, Coyle.
So Erica follows her out, and she's like, I don't want to ruin your night. I just can't ruin your night, Erica.
Oh, it doesn't matter. I already stood up and swayed to that track. My job here is done, okay? I'm just waiting for the pizza to come out.
If just one more person knows where their pizza is and exactly when it's going to arrive and how hot and ready it is. I've done my job here, Dorit. I've done my job.
If I could help one person avoid the Noid, then my job here is done.
So then inside, Kyle's like, you guys, I lost my shit. Like, really bad, you guys. Like, really bad. And Bose is like, well, maybe she's just trying to get it all out. And they're like, well, don't get it out on people that don't deserve it. What are you talking about? You're like a machine gun that's just turned on and left to go. Like one of those ones that just sprays all over.
I'm really upset that Sutton and Dorit are feuding because this really would have been a great season for Sutton to pile on to Kyle. And I think that Sutton wants to, but now she's forced to be allied with Kyle because, you know, she's got to be against Dorit. But it's a shame because Sutton would really be shining right now going after Kyle on this matter.
Oh, she still got her licks in during this episode, which is pretty good. But she does have to do it in a more peaceful way. You know, you're correct. So Bose is like, well, how does she know if Kyle deserved it or not? And they're like, wow. And Sutton's like, well, she didn't deserve it. Here's my squint. This proof. She does not deserve it. Take this squint and suck it. And Kyle's like, yeah, she literally laughed about it for 8 years. I mean, that's the thing. You don't know the history. You don't know the history of her just laughing about me and PK being friends. Yeah, that was before she was getting a fucking divorce, Kyle.
Yeah. Also, so is your argument that you guys were never that close, or is your argument that you guys were close enough they had history that she understood the nuances of the fact that you would text PK memes? Which one is it, Kyle?
Yeah, exactly. So she's like, well, I can, of course, understand how this would look to people who don't understand the friendship, but especially the newer people in the group, and she knows that too, and that's why she's doing it, because she has to come up with something. Otherwise, she's the asshole. No, you're still the asshole.
Yeah, but the way she is trying to manipulate this, the way she is bending like this argument around and trying so hard to make this make sense, where it seems like Dorit is the asshole in the situation, is honestly, it's admirable. I mean, I've never seen anyone work so hard to really bend reality this way, you know, at least on this show.
Yeah.
And this is a show where they do that a lot.
So Tilly is like, do you think that she thought that PK was sending you something besides memes?
And Bose is like, I thought that. I definitely would have thought that.
Would you say? Mems. No, that is.
Oh, you mean like the waitresses? Mams. So Sutton, basically Sutton like laughs and it's like buries her face in the hands. And meanwhile, Erica's saying, Dorit is having a hard time personally and she is no longer putting up with the shit out of Kyle. So anyway, back to me standing around listening to my music at this event that people came to hear me sing at. So then, Dorit gets into her van and Erica's basically like, hey, you know, I've never seen Kyle and Dorit like this. I've never seen Dorit lunge towards Kyle. I mean, I've seen PK lunge towards a Pringle, but I've never seen Dorit lunge towards Kyle. And I've never seen Kyle's vein pop out of her head like that, which is crazy because she seems to do it every episode, but I just haven't noticed it ever before. I don't know, maybe it's that running mascara in my eyes.
So then we go over to Sutton's house. She's having a country club day for the girls. You know, just have some good old tennis. So she's dressed all tennis-y. And then Kyle comes in while Avi does things like, you know, cut lemons wrong. And I don't know. gets country club ready. So Kyle comes, and then she comes in and, you know, takes off her shoes, because that's what you have to do in this house. It's a big part of this episode. And they make some small talk, and Kyle's like, oh my God, I still have my panties in such a fucking twist about last night. Like, I can't, I seriously, I cannot believe it. I mean, sorry about my language. And she's like, I don't care. At this country club, you can cuss, you can drink, you can do a lot of things at this country club. Kyle, close your mouth. Close your mouth. It's disgusting. It's rude. Just close your mouth, please.
Am I allowed to text PK in this country club? Well, yes, you can. She goes, well, you know what? I have not lost that in a very, very long time. Son's like, yeah, I didn't want you to get an aneurysm. Yeah. I mean, when she said that that vein's bulging on the side of my head, that does not, that only happens when I get really upset. And you know, the last time I remember that happening is when I had a fight with Camille Grammer in New York City. Kyle, I hate to break it to you, but you may need to watch seasons one through everything up into this moment, because no, it happened like five times a season.
Especially when she was yelling at Dorit about Kathy Hilton in wherever they were, skiing Aspen or whatever, when she's like, how dare you? Why can't you just be on my side? And she was satanic and that vein was coming out. And then we see the clip of 2010, where season one was, and those, she didn't even have the angry vein back then at all. She had the angry 111s, which normally they're angry 11s, you know, that you get Botox. You know, I have it right here. She had like three of them. I don't even remember that face at all. I was like, who the hell is that woman?
Yeah, it was a whole different thing. We go back there, and then Kyle's like, I would never say that, even if I thought that, Camille. You're such a fucking liar, Camille. I kind of feel like Kyle only said that as fan service. She was like, you know what? I know people are probably pissed at me. Let me give the producers a chance to throw that clip up on the screen, because I know the fans will like that. And guess what? I did.
Yeah. So Kyle's like, when I get upset, I black out. Well, I think Kyle has a problem when people stand up to her. But listen, Kyle, I don't like veins bulging. And she's basically saying that Dorit's been cowering for years, and now she's standing up against Kyle. And that's the thing when you just get rid of your alliances, you know? When you gather a bunch of people and use them as weapons against other people, you've got to keep those guns clean, girl, or they're going to turn on you, you know? That's
always no honor amongst thieves.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Hey, y'all, it's your girl, Keke Palmer, and let me tell you, we're kicking off this new year with a whole new mindset. You know how everyone's all about new year, new me? Well, on Baby, This is Keke Palmer, we're taking it to a whole other level. We're talking new year, new perspectives. And honey, it's gonna change your life. I sat down with astrology queen, Channie Nicholas. Y'all, if you want to understand yourself better this year, this episode is it. And then there's my chat with the incredible Da Vinci, where nothing was off the table. If you're looking to level up your mindset this year, his words are definitely going to hit different. If you're ready for that new year, new mindset energy, you've got to tune in to Baby, This is Keke Palmer. Catch it on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. And for the full experience, head to my YouTube channel. If you're looking for more podcasts to help you tend to your well-being, check out New Year, New Mindset on the Wondery app. Let's make this year our best one yet, baby. Hey, y'all, it's your girl, Keke Palmer, and let me tell you, we're kicking off this new year with a whole new mindset. You know how everyone's all about new year, new me? Well, on Baby, This is Keke Palmer, we're taking it to a whole other level. We're talking new year, new perspectives. And honey, it's gonna change your life. I sat down with astrology queen, Channie Nicholas. Y'all, if you want to understand yourself better this year, this episode is it. And then there's my chat with the incredible Da Vinci, where nothing was off the table. If you're looking to level up your mindset this year, his words are definitely going to hit different. If you're ready for that new year, new mindset energy, you've got to tune in to Baby, This is Keke Palmer. Catch it on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. And for the full experience, head to my YouTube channel. If you're looking for more podcasts to help you tend to your well-being, check out New Year, New Mindset on the Wondery app. Let's make this year our best one yet, baby.
So Garcelle shows up. Hi. Who's ready for tennis? Not me. If you look for me on that court, you know what you'll wind up saying? Black girl missing. I'm on the side.
So then they start chatting about last night. And Garcelle's like, my head is still spinning about last night. Wow, 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 wow.
Wow.
Oh. Well, I just said my panties are in a twist. That's what I said about it. Good one, Kyle. Glad you were sure to get that on camera. No, they should be. I mean, literally, you were just coming for each other. Wow. So then we see them coming for each other, a clip. And Kyle's like, I blacked out. I'm not kidding you. And when I got upset, I don't remember what I said and when I really lost it. I mean, the vein was just bulging out of the side of my head.
Let's see how long that this whole blackout line lasts, because I'm sure it'll be very soon where she'll be rattling off specifics. You said this and I said this and you're totally misconstruing it. I was like, well, what happened to that blackout? I guarantee her little blackout thing is going to go away very soon. Mm-hmm. So Garcelle was like, yes. And then she got mad at you for your vein. Oh, God, she's awful. Kyle's like, yeah, I mean, don't make them come out of my head, bitch. Don't make my... Kyle is mad at Dorit for making her vein come out of her forehead.
Yeah. You know, this whole thing is interesting. And I was like, why is this scene so weird to me? It's because Kyle's hanging out with Sutton and Garcelle. That has never happened. I don't think we've ever seen a three-person hang out with this trio, have we? It seems really bizarre. And it's so sad that Kyle is just left with this. She's been on here, and I don't mean because they suck. I just mean because she clearly does not like these people, you know? She's been on this show 14 years and has no friends. I mean, she has no friends to the point that she's shooting two main scenes today with Sutton and Garcelle, who she's never liked.
Well, because you have the Fox Force 5 that always hangs out with each other, Kyle and Dorit and Erica. And then you have like the, we never gave them a name, but it was like the Sutton, Crystal, Garcelle group, who were never, ever truly accepted by the Fox Force 5. And they had to create their own group. And of course, they all hang out with each other. But I guess what we don't really see is a lot of like Kyle coming over to Kiki with them, right? Like they may go out and have like a lunch and talk about things and what's going on and how's life, but never just like a straight up, like, let's just sit and gab in the backyard. And that's why it feels a little strange, because it's like, this is Kyle goes to Erica and Dorit for this sort of stuff, or Rinna when she was on.
She's left with slim pickings here, Kyle. You did this to yourself. So then Sutton's like, well, you know, oh, so basically they play tennis. They have, it's like a wacky scene of playing tennis. So we can fast forward.
Yeah. So Garcelle pretends that she hurt her arm, so she doesn't have to play. And it's hilarious.
All right, now it's time to get down to business. So they start eating their sushi. And Kyle's like, I didn't know if there was already iced tea that has alcohol in it. Because the first call I made this morning, I don't know why I'm talking about that. Oh, because she's asking Sutton, like, does your tea have vodka in it? Is that why?
Yeah. Yes. And then she goes, by the way, guys, the first call I made today this morning was to Mo. Just want to remind everyone that we're having kind of the best divorce. Like, our divorce is kind of better than everyone else's. So every time you guys say that it's going to go one way, I just want you to know, like, everything is totally, totally fine between us. We are really happy and co-parenting. I have no issues, Mauricio. I don't even have an issue with the fact that there were rumors about Dorit being too close with Mauricio. That will definitely not surface later in this episode. I'm totally chilled, Mauricio, guys.
I don't remember if I won tennis because Ronnie wasn't paying attention to that scene. And I know I've never won an Oscar, but I have won. Divorce! Best divorce ever!
What? First of all, it's wild that he is the first person that you called. She goes, yeah. So he told me that PK was having a hard time last night and he was like really down. And I said, I can't be friends with PK. I can't. And he was like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. And I said, well, if it bothers her, I can't. So Kyle is now doing this very performative, sacrificial moment. She's a martyr to this friendship, because Dorit is just so demanding. And look at this. Even Mauricio thinks it's unreasonable.
Well, I mean, like I said last night, if it was me, I'd be upset. And Sutton's like, yeah, I wouldn't like that either. I wouldn't like it.
Yeah, I wouldn't like it either.
Me neither. I wouldn't like that.
I wouldn't like it.
I would hate it.
I would hate
it. You guys, you had a very different situation. Okay, first of all, as someone who is in the Halloween franchise, I think I'm afforded certain rights and privileges. I'm sorry. That's just how it is.
You didn't have Jamie Lee Curtis there to talk you down from the ledge. You know, sometimes that's really all you need.
As someone who had a recurring role on ER, I will tell you, I understand an emergency, and this is not one. Dorit needs to calm down.
Well, okay, but I feel like it's a similar situation, Dorit. Not infidelity, but being angry at one another. And Sutton's like, well, I mean, but... What? So wait, did we hear that there was infidelity here? This is the first time we're hearing of this, right?
I think that she was saying, I think she was saying that in her situation, there was infidelity. Garcelle was saying, I'm in a similar situation. I mean,
like, ooh, we caught PK cheating. Who slept with PK? Let's shame him just for sleeping with PK, not necessarily the cheating.
It was Susan Boyle. So
it's so hard to understand Housewives. Like, it's so hard. Like, I really have to think hard about it before I come to work. And obviously I fail 80% of the time.
So then Sutton's like, well, Kyle, you had an infidelity. And Kyle's like, cool.
Yeah, she really does do that, like sucking down a canary on accident, where she's like, what do you mean? What do you mean? What part? Infidelity. Who did? You did. No, I didn't. With Mo? When? You've talked about him. You also were kind of bragging about dating Morgan all last year. How is Kyle forgetting this? Why is Kyle acting like everybody's outing her when her whole storyline last year was getting cutesy tattoos with this hot fucking country star who was writing songs about doing coke off of her stomach in the Chateau Marmont? What the hell, Kyle?
So we see a flashback to last reunion where Kyle says, well, with any marriage, there's issues that you have. That you have that come up. And like I said in my interview where, you know, I did lose my trusts.
... See, we never know, you know, again, she just never tells us. So then Garcelle's like, well, this is definitely the unspoken thing that no one brings up. I mean, listen, we've been hearing rumors for years that either Mo slept around or stepped out or is doing this or that, but nobody has confirmation. But it's been all over, please.
Cause like with the Instagram, and now we see a flashback to 2023 with Sutton saying like, what is appropriate when it comes to husband's communication with other women on social media? And Kyle's like, I had a fight with Mo about that, and I hate that stuff. I hate it.
I love that Sutton is just so ham-handed with it, because these games are usually like hinting to get to the drama, and Sutton's like, let's play a game. So, Kyle, your husband's been fucking people over Instagram DMs. How does that feel? Just a random question. It came with a box.
So then Sutton's like, I always have problems with things slipping out of my mouth. And Kyle's like, well, it's different. Okay, that's different.
Well, this part's important. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but this part's important because the producer said, basically, when you're talking about infidelities, are you referring to the Instagram story? And she says, no, I'm not. Yeah. So she's talking about bigger rumors. Which, what are the bigger rumors? There have been a lot of rumors about Mauricio. I mean, I've seen stuff that, like, he went skiing with this lady who was a realtor, and maybe Kyle got mad, but that was after the separation. Who was the cheat while they were doing it? Because from what I'm getting from the show, it's only Kyle who was it. From the show is showing us that Kyle got mad about Instagram stuff and then kind of started having a fling with Mo when she felt distant from Mo, right? Or is that in my head?
I think that's the implication. There was something happened in Kyle's life where there was like distance, and the implication was that she was having tough times with Kathy. She lost her best friend, and Mauricio was not available to her. And then she started drifting and met Morgan, etc. But then this is also the same time when there were the Dorit rumors with Mauricio. And so who knows?
Yeah. Okay, thanks. Thanks for catching me up, because I forget. I recap the show every episode, but I forget. So then, Kyle's like, well, that's different. I mean, that's different. I think that's different. And she's like, okay, then. Okay. Well, we're going to drop it until the next time Garcelle brings it up. And I smile with my eyes. Okay. Well, it's just the way that she went about it. I mean, it was just so annoying, because, like, I did not know. It's like, it didn't bother her before that I talked to PK. Like, she said it a million times. Okay, but obviously she didn't know you were still texting PK, which is why you had to answer for it. She didn't know about this. Stop making it sound like pre-divorce is the same as during divorce.
I know. The fact that she is really towing this line when she knows she fucked up with girl code. It's not even girl code. It's just like anyone code. So Garcelle's like, well, I think she wants you to take her side. And Kyle's like, well, I am not talking about that then. Like, so I'm like talking about then. Like, now I understand. That's why I said that. What? What?
Yeah, but you're still mad. Then why are you mad if you understand it's bad? I mean, really, all she had to do in this whole thing was say, listen, I'm friends with PK. I've always been friends with PK. I didn't think you would mind if I was sending him a little, like, feel better stuff. Like, I'm not trying to betray you, but if, you know, I hurt your feelings, so I'm really sorry. I'll stop doing that.
That's it. And it would have ended, you know, but the whole like denial, and then admitting it, but then denying it because Dorit deserved it because she was fine with it before. And this whole thing, come on, cut the rigmarole, Kyle. Lady who doesn't like beating a dead horse. You're the lady who brings the dead. You're the lady who brings the horse on. You kill the horse, then you beat it, and then you have it remade to be branded as your own horse. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then you keep beating it some more.
So Kyle's like, well, I mean, I've sent text messages, but like, I mean, you know, it's like your friends and everything. And Sutton's like, so you don't talk about their relationship? Never, never. He's smarter than that. You know, like, I don't know this girl. Like, I don't know who Dorit is right now. Like, I won't be friends with someone who continues to do that to me. Right now, there's no incentive for me to fix things with her. Who wants to be around that?
Well, not me. We can agree on that. Not me.
I don't.
Not me either.
Me neither.
I never liked the bitch.
Fuck her.
I'm still mad I didn't get to see her face fall when I told her that you've been texting PK. Oh, sorry, Kyle. I was going to throw you under the bus there. Oh, well.
Kyle goes, not it. So then we go to HD Buttercup. So I love that this whole storyline is Erica has to redo her house on a very meager budget. So she's shopping at HD Buttercup. Girl.
Yeah. Girl. Also, since when does HD Buttercup serve champagne when you walk in there? I don't remember ever going in there. They're doing that. I mean,
they've never given me champagne. Here's what they do when I go into HD Buttercup. They slightly follow me around because they think I'm stealing things. And last time I even got admonished because they have these big candy jars in one of the furniture rooms. And so I took some candy and then I walked into the next room where employees were sitting at a table, like talking. And I didn't realize that there were mirrors looking into the other room. And she's like, oh, so I see you helped yourself to some candy.
What?
And I said, I sure did. Oh. I said, I sure
did.
But as I kept walking, I was like, oh, try me again. You know, I considered circling around and grabbing the whole thing and putting it in my pocket. Yeah. Just walking out, pretending I'm rich, you know, like, yeah, well, I might buy this couch later. Oh, this candy is mine.
These fuckers. So, yeah, we're at HD Buttercup and Culver City, and Erica's like, hello, I'm here to meet Martin Lawrence Ballard. Oh, you mean the foppish Brit who's doing cartwheels over there by the palm trees? Yes. I will have to say, by the way, the return of Martin Lawrence Ballard into our lives with this show prompted me to go onto Peacock and start watching Million Dollar Decorators again. I watched the first episode. God, that was such a good show. It was so good. It was a very chaotic first episode. Like, Kathy Ireland, the British lady, she is kind of a mess. She spends the entire episode screaming. She's like, where's the guacamole? I need the guacamole ready now. Where's the martinis? Oh, yeah, my boobs. Are my boobs looking good, love? Where's more blood? What's this piece doing? Throw it out. But honestly, it's such a good show.
Yeah, that was a good one. I miss that show every day. Every day I miss it. So they make some small, Dorit comes and makes some small talk with Erica. And then here he comes.
Hello, ladies. Oh, my God.
Oh, hi, my love. How are you, Martin? This is my friend Dorit. She goes, oh, yes. I just heard about how fabulous you are and how wonderful you've been to Erica. He's like, oh, well, goodness, of course.
You've just heard about me. How interesting for you. So if you ever need a remodel of that rock that you've been living under, let me know, dear.
So Erica tells us, style is not an unlimited budget. Style is when you have a budget, and I take these things here and mix them together and make it look fucking fabulous. That's style. I'm like,
yes, but also everything we've seen about you is having an unlimited budget and using that just to buy whatever's new.
I was going to say, man, yeah, we know Erica because we've seen you with an unlimited budget and there was still no style. Okay. We've seen you on both Trading Spaces and we've seen you on...
And Living Spaces.
$1 million Decorators. You have a style in either one of them. So Martin's like, well, we're giving her the new her with a bit old glamour. So I've brought in personality experts.
Just kidding, Erica. I can't go that deep. Just don't have the talent to fix something as broken as that. Shall we, ladies?
Well, I like this. So what's your view on plants?
Oh, I love plants. It's like I told Sharon Osbourne. They have to be real, real plants.
I agree.
You know, room is like a face. If the bone structure isn't good, doesn't matter how much plastic surgery or makeup you put on, it's not going to work. And you see them both like looking like, uh-oh. Is that a dig?
Well, but also... Also, to be coming out of his mouth, I mean, he's like, well, ladies, fake is terrible, you know? Real is key. If you don't have the bone structure, nothing else will work. I'm like, you look like an ottoman. What are you talking about? You're an ottoman with a tongue.
Your lips look like the hood on my teleprompter. So... Erica's like, well, when I moved into the home once again. Okay, everyone get ready for another tale about Erica living humbly and redecorating for her soul. So, you know, when I moved into this tiny permanent igloo, I thought, how am I ever going to live in here? Basically, the wigwam.
Cut to my favorite, Erica with a little broom that's just made out of a stick and some straw tied to the end, sweeping softly and singing,
I've got a pussy on a cloud.
And then we come back and she's like, you know, the last thing I was thinking about was furniture, to be perfectly honest. We know, because you took all the furniture from Tom's. We've covered this. So she's like, yeah, I had a lot of furniture in my old home and it wasn't that comfortable, but it looked good and it cost a lot of money.
Tom Segawa pulled up a Mayflower 18-wheeler, honey, and she unloaded on his ass and then left. And she didn't even leave him any toilet paper. Trust me, I'm not even joking. It really stank around there. So,
Martin's like, by the way, I hate to interrupt this moment while you're reflecting on how you used to be rich and then became still rich but less rich. I like this corner. If you need a new man, this is the corner to cook right over here.
So they're testing out this couch. He's like, yes, this is the corner to cook with. Am I right, ladies?
That's great. So then Erica... No, I'm also just laughing.
I was like, I never want to even sit on that couch. Please don't ever make me sit on that couch. I'm just imagining Martin climaxing on that couch. I don't want it. I don't want you cooking in corners. Just make my house look cute. Don't make me think of you like naked and doing stuff with people.
This is the sort of couch where you put on Orinoco Flow and you jerk off to images of International Mail from 1991.
So,
men, don't even mention men. Oh, men, Martin. Men, Martin.
Well, we've got to have a hobby, don't we, girls?
So, Erica's like, yeah, you know, I was like, you know, while Tom's ex unloaded, I was like, let me take four cups and four plates and do the right thing. And that bitch said, fuck you, and took all the shit. I should have done that too, but we'll big deal. Thanks, Internet.
By the way, that was not you innocently taking four plates so you could leave Tom something. This was you.
Get the fucking plates, Maggie. Boo, boo, boo. Don't worry, they won't be here for at least 16 minutes. All right, get the goddamn mattress and get in the car.
Farrah, the housewives need to do a scene, so can I show you some things that need to get delivered?
Yes, that sounds good.
Okay, the first thing is a personality for you.
Whoa, Martin, that wasn't nice.
So now Eric and Dorit just sit on the couch that they're testing, and Eric is like, oh, have a seat on my new couch. Please ignore the stain that Martin left there. Jesus Christ.
Oh, thank you. Redecorating. I feel like it's a rebirth, isn't it? Here I come out in the world. Me again. Wah. Back when I only had one accent. Wah. Wah. But then a French nurse passed, and I said, wah. Wah. And then a Spanish lady passed, and I said, wah, favor. Wah, favor. Just like being born again.
Could you please get your metaphorical placenta off this sofa? I haven't purchased it yet.
How about you shut the fuck up, Tower of Babel, and let's shoot the scene.
Okay, come on. We only have about 5 minutes before Martin Lawrence comes back here and tries to tell us about how the time he followed around George Michael for an entire year in the 90s, okay?
He ended up redesigning a public restroom in Will Rogers State Park.
So anyway, you know, it means a lot because it's taking a time to get to to the want to even try because it was so much about survival. And now I want to thrive instead of simply gasping for air every day in my $2 million Hancock Park house where I have an extra room that I could just put clothes in. Oh, God, to be impoverished.
Oh, God, don't I understand? In case you didn't understand, that meant you just had two monologues in a row, and I've said nothing about Piki. All right, Dewey, just fucking go. Talk already. Well, I love talking to you. You and Bose, you're the two people that I've been confiding in most, and to hear there are people in the group that have an issue with our friendship.
There's a crash in the other room.
What was that?
Oh, sorry, loves. I knocked my fresh and easy basket into a vase. Don't mind me. Keep you doing your scene.
Farah, please put some green bell peppers behind this ficus. Otherwise, no one will take it seriously, you homely little wench.
It's called multitasking. And you hear another person. Oh, Martin, I see you've helped yourself to some candy.
Fuck off. Have her removed.
Well, honestly, I have no idea. I can't make sense of it, Erica, because I would have an issue like that in elementary school.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So then we see a flashback to a day earlier, and Bose, Erica, and Dorit are hiking together, and Bose is like, Sutton! Sutton has said, remember I was telling you, you and Dorit are like, off, together, and talking? And Erica's like, yeah, so? I was like, I'm getting to know her. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Now
you can say your elementary school thing, Dorit.
I don't think that there's a problem with, I don't think people are like, why is Bose only, you know, I don't think it's a problem with Bose. I think it's just so transparent what Dorit is doing, trying to build alliances. But then again, you know, if you need friends, then you need to go make friends. And that's it. That's what she's doing. And that's the same thing that Kyle's doing with Garcelle and Sutton, who she's never hung out before, but no one's calling her out. So just let the girls live. Let them live.
I have a hot take here. I don't think that, there's an ulterior motive with Dorit and Bose. I think that Dorit genuinely was drawn to Bose. I think they were genuinely drawn to each other. I think they just see themselves as like, it's like two fabulous over-the-top women, both recognize, like game recognize game, and they're like, or it's like gay appeal recognize gay appeal. And I think they just immediately knew like, oh yeah, we're meant to be friends.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. And I definitely see that they like each other. I'm not saying that. I just think when I first saw Dorit, how she like totally went straight for Bose and snagged Bose, basically, it's because Dorit needed somebody. I think that they, you know, eventually have spent more time together than anybody else. So naturally, they have started to like each other. But I mean, I don't know. I thought it was kind of obvious on Dorit's part. But yeah, I see what you're saying. It makes sense.
Yeah, but you know what it is? I don't think that Bose would, I think Bose could probably sniff out a faker. I mean, Dorita's fake, but like she could sniff out, I think, if someone's trying to manipulate her. And like, because if Kyle had done this move, I think like Kyle would have been so transparent about it. I think Bose would have been like, I sense something is up. But I feel like, I don't know, I maybe this is just me being a naive optimist, but I actually feel like it's a genuine thing.
If it were something like Survivor, I think Bose's confessional would be something along the line of, well, it's too easy. I mean, it's too soon to really commit to a team yet. I'm not going to be in an alliance just yet, but, you know, we'll wait and see. I think they're still in their, like, pre-have to make a fire by yourself phase.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So, Dorit is basically saying, like, I mean, dude, like, come sit by my... She's talking about it, like you said before. It's, like, all very elementary school. Like, what side are you on?
I mean, what is it? Like, come on my side. No, you need to be on our side. Fucking grow up! Like,
I mean, that's... I was going to say that's true, but you are also saying, like... Are you on PK's side or my side? Why the fuck are you texting PK?
Yeah, that is. But I was thinking that too.
Because that is a man. But, you know, that's the husband or whatever. So I get that that's different. But Erica's like, well, what do you need from Kyle in order to move forward? Because for a second, you were moving forward. And now the Viper Room, post-Viper Room, what do you need exactly?
Glad? A Domino's? What is it?
He's like, well, it hurts me that she doesn't say, I text this to PK. Do you know why? It feels secretive. And then her reaction made me feel like, hold on a minute. Whoa.
Even if he's reaching out to you, even if you want to maintain a friendship, which is okay, except that it's not okay. Yeah, it's fine. Just right now, it's just not clean. Like, why not share it with me? I mean, you know what? I can see why you feel that way. By the way, I just got a text message. Domino is also the name of a brand of sugar. Is that allowed in Beverly Hills? Can we be endorsing sugar?
Just don't pay attention to that. The point is, you like me better and you always have. Well, you know, I did want to talk to you about wearing horizontal black and white prison stripes when you're talking to me and you know that Tom's still on trial. That's kind of insensitive, don't you think?
I need to understand why she flipped out so much. Do you think if the table was turned on Kyle and asked me the question that I asked Kyle and I reacted, Kyle would be okay with that? No, I don't think so.
Yeah, she's like, no, but you both get divorced, you know, well, you, come on, girl, you know, she'd be mad, you know, I agree.
And Dorit's like, well, she shouldn't have been happy with any of it, not the texting, not the shearing, and definitely not a reaction.
So now we go to Bose's house, and Bose is packing up stuff. She's about to have some fibroid surgery, and she's talking about how she's going to be doing this, and she's going to get fibroid surgery.
Yeah, Keely's going to take her to get fibroid surgery, and it's she's one of them is the size of a fucking grapefruit, which is insane, and it makes me hate grapefruit even more because you know I hate grapefruit because that's like a big Weight Watchers thing from the 80s when they'd be like, oh my god, guys, you have to eat a grapefruit every day because it makes your metabolism go faster. No, it fucking doesn't. It never did. I was fatter than the day after I ate a grapefruit than the day before I had
what
ever
about a pomelo?
Grapefruit, and I was much more miserable. Fucking grapefruit. I hate you.
Don't grapefruit. Take it out on the grapefruit, though.
I hate
don't
those take things, it out. Those sour, you know what I think stupid things. I hate them. They're inedible.
You know what I think about with grapefruits is that when I was a kid watching either, I think it was Candid Camera, and they had this like gag where like someone was sitting at like the diner counter and they had a grapefruit and they like rigged the grapefruit that when they put their spoon into it, it would squirt the person to the right or the left. And I literally thought that was the funniest thing. I was like, guys, comedy does not get any better than the squirting grapefruit. This is it. This is it. It's never, we're never achieving these heights ever again.
And I think our comedy has not really advanced for the both of us. We're still pretty much in that place because that sounds like the funniest fucking thing to me. I'd still laugh at that today.
It was funny. And honestly, if you think about that happening to like Kyle Richards, she's like, oh my God, that grapefruit just squirted at me. It still would be like hilarious for us. Like,
why am I getting so thin? Why am I getting, it's like Stephen King's thinner. It just squirts people in the eye and they just start losing too much body weight immediately.
Why do we, by the way, why, you know, it's been like 20 years. This is crazy, but it's been like 20 years since Punk'd was like a thing. Why have we not brought back Punk'd, but for Housewives? Because I feel like if anyone deserves to be Punk'd and if anyone would have a hilarious reaction, it would be the Housewives. Like, can we just see Kyle Richards? Can we just redo the entire Justin Timberlake gag with Kyle Richards and see her sitting on a curb crying? Because that would be great for me.
Yeah, that was the best Punk'd where we got to see Justin Timberlake crying. They were moving everything out of his house. I will never forget
That's the only Punk'd I ever remember. But like that was the best one.
This is gonna ruin the tour. He was like, call my mom. Call my mom.
And his mom was in it. Ugh, and on it. It was great.
So now Kyle comes over because it's 5 hours later. Now this setup. This is why Bose is amazing. And you know, it's always hard to tell with a first season housewife. She came out the gate pretty fabulous, right? Yeah. But you know, it's hard to tell. It's because her interactions with Dorit, like, I get that it's good for Dorit. I don't know that it's good for Bose. I mean, it kind of bores me. I like Dorit, but it makes me kind of bored. I don't know. You see later when Garcelle comes in, a totally different dynamic that I think really comes alive. But with Dorit, I'm not really getting it. Anyway, I'm not meaning to harp on that. But what makes her the most fabulous right now is that she does the rest of this episode in bed because she's had surgery. And it's just fabulous. I mean, she's...
Yeah.
Everything she wears, like, she's in full glam. She'll be in bed in full glam. And everybody has to kind of come over and sit with her while she's sick. And this is, I think, where she really... Oddly enough, she's in her bed or in her sick bed the whole time, recovery bed, I should say. But this is where she really kind of comes out of her shell in this episode.
Well, what's funny is she's in her bed. there's all these patterns. Her house is just like full of all these fabulous patterns. But in her bedroom, she's in kind of like a robe, and then she's under this big blanket that's splayed out across the top of her bed. And then on her wall are all these like portraits of beaus. And it's like very old Hollywood. It's like, here I am. Here's a portrait of me at Netflix approving a document. Here's a picture of me at Uber talking about surge pricing. It's just like, it's just so like, welcome to Beau's land.
One of them is a black velvet painting. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, to have a painting of yourself is one thing, but to have yourself on velvet is...
But it's... There's something very regal about it. And like she's sitting there, like the bed feels like a throne. And later on, the day bed feels like a throne. And she's, especially when Kyle comes in, because she's just there propped up. And the way they shot the scene is like Kyle is at the foot of the bed.
Yes.
And Beau's is there. And it just looked like Kyle was there to like, she looked like she was there to ask for funds for her farm in the countryside. It was like when we see those scenes from like House of the Dragon where they're like, please, the dragon are eating my sheep. I need more sustenance.
The dragon are eating my sheep. That's what I was thinking too. It really is that. And she's like in feathers and glitter and big hair. And she's just like looking fabulous. And they all have to kind of come sit at her feet. I just love the whole thing. So Kyle does not love having to take her shoes off. But, you know, she does it. And Nika's like, hello, I've heard of you, stupid. She's like, oh, hi. So she goes in and she's like, yeah, I really think Bose is fitting in well with the group. She seems to be open-minded. I mean, she is opinionated. But, you know, I was hurt by her comments in the Viper Room. So we're here to talk about it today. It's like, well, you're not going to win this one. So you better go in there with some soft mittens, sweetheart.
Especially because Bose didn't have any comments at all that landed on anyone's radars. Like, and this is the second week in a row that this has happened. You know, first you have Sutton, who's like, I didn't like how Beau's said the word weaponized about me. And now Kyle is like, I didn't like that Beau's had this minor opinion.
Well, Beau's said,
trying.
Beau's said, well, how do I know that Kyle didn't deserve it? And that's what really got in Kyle's craw.
Kyle's like, I'm the queen here.
I would deserve it. Yeah. How dare you, ma'am?
So, but I think the real issue for Kyle is not what Beau said, but that Dorit has gotten to Beau's first. And Kyle wants Beau's approval. So she is there to turn the tide about her image. So she's like, I think her idea of who I am is like maybe tainted. And then we see a month earlier where Beau's watch the fight at Oceanside, where Dorit's like, you do not get to pick and choose when it's okay, when you want to be friends, when it's convenient, and when I put a step wrong, you're going to decide I'm going to freeze out Dorit out and punish her for a whole 6 months. So Kyle doesn't like that Beau's guy. I saw that.
And then also Sutton saying, yeah, I too have experienced the punishment where Kyle has not spoken to me for months at a time. So Kyle walks into Beau's room, you know, and sits at her feet. And she's like, whoa, look at you. It's amazing. She's like, you look gorgeous. Now, oh my God, you're just so beautiful. Just sit down. So she does. And Beau is like, so look at those flowers you got me. I find it interesting that they're right next to Dorit's. And we see the flowers. And the ones that Kyle brought are Lisa Vanderpump's knockoffs, basically. They're
100% Lisa Vanderpump.
They're Lisa flowers. Vanderpump to the T. Kyle's even wearing pink through this whole episode, like just trying to cling, you know. And then they're right next to Dorit, who clearly knows this woman better, because these are like birds of paradise and these fabulous tropical flowers and plants. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a much more interesting arrangement. And Kyle's like,
the way that it's set up, it looks like the birds of paradise are going to eat the fucking roses.
Yeah, as they should.
Yeah.
So Beau's is like, well, there are multiple reasons why Kyle is visiting me. One is that I've spent a lot of time with Dorit, and maybe Kyle wants to give me her perspective. Or maybe so I can have a more balanced opinion, or maybe she wants to win me over. But guess what? With that shitty flower bouquet, it's going to be a long road for her.
I'm going to tell Kyle the same thing I told the president of HP when we had a lunch meeting. Squirt printers are out.
So Beau's is like, well, I'm getting to know both of you, and I'm like, oh shit, she's really mad. Oh, and then she's really mad, and then look at that one, she has a vein. I didn't know there were veins in Beverly Hills.
Kyle's like, I just blacked out. I like totally lost that. Did you see my vein?
So then Bozo's like, yeah, I was sitting next to you like, this girl's on fire. And not like Alicia Keys said, but legitimate on fire. And Kyle's like,
I don't get the reference.
Sorry.
But
who is that?
Who is Alicia Keys? She's like, I lost it because I was thinking to myself, like, you start trying to make it seem like something's inappropriate. Like, you know, I am not that person. Like, do not try to make me out like somebody I am not. Like, we all know I am not that girl. Like, if I ever did bother her, I would, of course, not speak to PK. I wouldn't want someone talking to my husband. It's not my fault. She didn't tell me. She didn't want me talking to PK. I mean, come on. It's like, okay, Kyle. Now she's in that space of, I would never do this, which is a great callback to the Camille grammar fight, because I will always remember from that season when Camille was mad that Kyle had said off camera, who cares about Camille without Frasier, basically. And then I just will always remember Kyle going up to Camille and being, Camille, why do you think I said that? I would never do that. I would never do that. I'm so mad you say that because I would never do that. That's always her defense of like, you should know me better because I would never do that, when she does the things that she says she would never do.
Well, and especially in that situation, like, yeah, you would. And you weren't wrong. You also weren't wrong. It was a valid point that Kyle made back then. Mm-hmm. They used to come around a lot more often back in those days. So Bose is like, well, I think one of the challenges you're having is that, you know, you've just... there's so many friends, you know, you don't see each other in the same way, the same friendship. You know what I mean? I have 174 besties, but some are more besties than others. And I'll go out with one bestie and then another bestie sees it and she writes me nasty texts about it. You know what I mean?
This is sort of my way of putting her on blast on national TV. So sorry, Susan. So then,
sorry, Susan, but you're 173.
I know. Crystal has nothing on me. So Kyle is like, she's like, well, you're probably right. What I think is, what I think is close is different than what maybe she thinks is close. And because I'm close to somebody, you know, I share, when I'm close to someone, I share everything. And she's just not that person. Like, she just never shared anything with me. So Kyle is saying that, like, they have two different definitions of closeness, and that because Dorit would never share anything, Kyle never really felt that closeness, which meant that the reason why they were never very close to begin with, which is maybe her, she's trying to explain what she had said at the reunion, is because Dorit never shared anything. And so therefore it's Dorit's fault, because Dorit never shares a single thing about her life, which is what caused the gulf. And there's no evidence whatsoever of Dorit sharing anything to Kyle Richards.
Cut to
Kyle. My husband, the one that you depend on the most, is spending so much time in London. Thank God I can depend on you and tell you everything, Kyle.
She's like, that's right, Dorit. Tell me everything like you always do. And then we cut back and Kyle's like, she never shares anything. And Bose is like, well, how is that possible? She told me all of this the first moment we met. And then we see a flashback to when they first met and Bose saying, hello, I'm Bose. I have a club called Join Bose, Boss Bitch of the 2020s. And I love life. And then cut to Dorit going, well, hello, I'm getting a divorce. He's a severe alcoholic. Severe.
I get that because I'm about to drop my friend Susan. So do you want to take her spot?
Hello there. This is a two-part recap, okay? This is the end of part one. So thank you so much for listening to this. Just come back a little later for part two.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's always automatic with Ashley Otto.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Catherine DiBernardo has our hardo.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
Dana C. Dana Do.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Etchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas. Jamie, she has no last namey. You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know your worth with Jason Kurth.
We could all learn from Jennifer Kearns.
She's our kind of mess, it's Jennifer Messer.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Knock, knock, knocking on Katie Manock's door.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
Bringing the funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
Tastier than Flanderson, it's Rachel Manderson.
Have a heck of a time with Rebecca. She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
She's got a leg up, it's Beth Ani.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva. Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie, my favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Put on a kettle for Rebecca Weddle.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kutar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.